Welcome to the Bob Bloom Show with your host, Bob Bloom, a production of South LaSalle. Welcome to episode 5 of the Bob Bloom Show, Subverting Query Language. Today is Thursday, April 1st, 2021. The Bob Bloom Show is my commentary podcast devoted to PHP, the Laravel framework, AWS serverless for PHP, and software development technologies and tools. Amazon Web Services DynamoDB database. It seems like the thing to learn because it seems like the database Amazon wants us to use with Lambda. Besides, with the Laravel framework, does it really matter what database we use because we don't really interact with the database directly anyways? That was my starting point when I started out. That's where I was. I read articles. I watched keynote addresses. I watched videos. I even paid for a course. I also organized not one but two presentations for my local meetup groups about serverless. But I'm not quite getting DynamoDB. There's a lot of terminology with DynamoDB. All explanations about DynamoDB are awash in terminology. My high school French teacher insisted on speaking French exclusively because there was supposed to be some natural process of osmosis where we would just absorb it. There was none. I'm having that same kind of thing with DynamoDB. I'm not going to learn its terminology because I keep hearing it over and over. I have used relational databases and MySQL for decades. I have ignored NoSQL by virtue of not needing it. I really do not need it now, just as I don't really need to know Lambda. But on the other hand, I want to learn DynamoDB, and I want to learn Lambda, and I want to learn it without the pressure of needing to learn it. As well, I see the potential of using both to break up my monolithic app, and that I'm very excited about. What I think I need is an explanation of DynamoDB through the eyes of someone like me, who is steeped in MySQL. So I am looking for some type of context. In the hopes of finding context, I did something in mid-March that I had not done before, nor had I actually come across. I searched for the history of DynamoDB, and I found it. How I did not come across this already is a mystery. I found Amazon's 2007 PDF about their internal Dynamo project. Amazon is not hiding this document. It's just that I had not come across it before. The link is in this podcast episode's notes. One of the names on this PDF is Werner Vogels, excuse my mispronunciation, Amazon's CTO, and someone I know from all the reInvent keynotes I've watched. Plus, I found his blog. How did I not come across his blog is another mystery. Specifically, there are two posts about DynamoDB of interest, one from 2012 and one in 2017. Both of these links are similarly linked in this episode's notes. To me, Werner Vogels is as direct a source as there can be about AWS. So for context, there's no better source. And since then, I've been reading about the rise of NoSQL. There was an article that said that Amazon broke Oracle, that Amazon was using Oracle for its e-commerce, and they ended up breaking it. Oracle just could not handle the volume of database activity. I've seen plenty of subverting normalized databases to speed things up. I might have done a few things myself from time to time. Joins are a big bottleneck. In my mind's eye, I imagine what it was like for Amazon at that time while they were breaking Oracle. And imagining it gives me a really important sense of context. My guess is that the rise of the cell phone helped break Amazon's Oracle system. The explosion of devices accessing Amazon caused an explosion of database activity. The data could not get in fast enough, and then they could not get to the data. cracks probably started at pressure points in the database. The internal paper mentions the shopping cart. I imagine that they decided to circumvent joins in order to speed up the database inserts, which meant denormalizing the table, in gradations to cope with each new jump in database activity. More custom work was done to the pressure points to increase speed. With each effort came increasing subverting of the relational database model. My guess is that at some point, the system's underlying plumbing could not be subverted any further, and the database failed at these pressure points at peak times. Oracle, as I remember it, was the gold standard of enterprise databases. It was top of the line. It was really expensive, and it needed a small army of people to run. So the significance of using Oracle is, if Oracle could not handle the volume, then no database could handle the volume. If no existing database could handle the load, then Amazon was forced to build a homemade solution, which is exactly what Amazon set out to do. I imagine the most knowledgeable, the most talented, and the most trusted by the top brass database people at Amazon were exhausted when the brass finally understood that that was it for Oracle. After what must have been months and months and months under immense pressure and scrutiny, the people running the database system must have been exhausted. This is what I imagine. At this moment of sheer exhaustion, I imagine the brass at Amazon asked their exhausted team to find a homemade solution. And I imagine the team hesitated because failure meant an end to their careers. On the other hand, there was no other team at Amazon who could pull it off. You know, it was the brass's ass too. So the unusual happened, as I imagine it. The brass promised the team they would part any Red Sea, fund any idea, and put the company in the service of the team in the frantic search for a solution. They then gave the team spot bonuses, gave them only a couple of days off to recharge, and then they put bunks in offices. That's what I imagine. I then imagine in my mind's eye that when the team convened, they immediately went out to get a coffee. Over the proverbial napkins and envelopes, they sketched out their wildest fantasies to get speed. A team steeped in relational databases sought to exquisitely subvert the foundations of relational architecture in the name of speed, mainly because the plumbing to support joins proved too costly in terms of speed. I imagine the soaring relief of finally being able to contemplate excising foreign keys, indexes, and the full confusing myriad of joins. I imagine the lively discussion about how to meld hardware and software, removing abstractions, removing layers, just writing directly to the disk. I imagine in my mind's eye, after some coffee refills or refills of other beverages, they adopted the motto, "The table is the database." The technical overhead supporting multiple tables would be jettisoned. Heretofore, only the thinnest technical overhead was needed because just one table would exist. A table would be a fully independent database environment. I imagine all the pent-up desires, all the deepest fantasies from all those months, from exhausted minds, what they would do to speed up Oracle. I imagine that the proof of concept was a fabulously fast, exquisitely sleek database prototype of the smartphone age. With one glaring problem, they swung the pendulum out to its furthest logical conclusion. They just put a spike through the heart of that database. And now they had to look at the crux of that database square in the eyes, that relationship between tables, which can't be ignored. Because regardless of implementation, that is related. There are customers. There are orders. Customers have orders. How to relate customers with orders in their exquisite race car of a database? amongst all the DynamoDB terminology, there was one term in particular that stood out to me, a familiar term, the primary key. On top of that, DynamoDB does call a table a table. They do not seem to want to call a row, but for me, I think of it as a row. So there's a table, there's a row, there's a primary key. DynamoDB does not call them fields, and I don't think I should be calling them fields either. The way I see it, someone steeped in relational database theory and practice who needed to increase speed at pressure points in a normalized database, they're going to try denormalizing first. And I imagine that the first instinct to implement relationships amongst tables in the hardwired non-relational database was to do those denormalizing things. But I imagine after trial and error, they concluded that adding structured fields cost an immense amount of speed. So they dumped data in a structured format into big text fields, and then they concatenated primary key fields. So they put the customer ID and the order ID into one single primary key field. This means they could sort through customers and orders efficiently, but they lost the ability to sort through that other data efficiently. I think this is why there is so much emphasis placed on getting the primary key correct the first time, because rejigging the data in a DynamoDB table to a new primary key is a huge effort. And it costs a lot of money because the entire table needs to be scanned, and scanning is slow and expensive. Finally, have context, kind of grasp it, to understand it. And to understand it in the context of what I'm used to, which almost seems luxurious. But at least I feel like I have a handle on it now. Knowing that Amazon created a database for internal use only called Dynamo, knowing that Dynamo was born from breaking Oracle, knowing that Amazon was under enormous pressure to come up with a homemade solution that could handle enormous volume of database activity gives me the context that I've craved. As well, knowing that DynamoDB's genesis was from the minds and hearts and efforts of people steeped in the ways of relational database theory and practice gives me enormous context. And in a way, comfort. I assume that DynamoDB sprung from a fresh well, far from the ways of sequential query language, and so represented new ways of doing database. Its genesis is far more familiar. I am glad I persevered with this journey. Thank you for listening to this, my fifth episode of my Bob Bloom Show, Subverting Query Language. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.